We are continuing with our series, Wells. When we started off on this journey to a well, going to a well, we had no idea how long this series would be, but we're still plugging away at wells. And so, I'm so glad that you are here, so glad you're enjoying, and I believe that God is going to speak into your life through this message today. I really do. I think this is going to be an encouraging message, one that can really help us grow our faith. And so in order for that to happen, we go where all people go to grow their faith, the Old Testament. Praise the Lord, okay? Sir, can you not leave during the service just because we're going Old Testament? Thank you. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Y'all are turning around like, oh my gosh, someone's already leaving. No, someone's not leaving yet. Give them about 5 minutes and then that'll happen. So, okay. So 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 is where we dive in today. So we're doing another lesson on wells, but this is the well of prayer. This is the well of prayer, and one that I think some of us can tune out on because we're like, I know how to pray or this or that, but hang with me, hang with me. I think God's got some things he wants to speak into our life today. So 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. The first thing, as we look through these verses, we've got to ask ourselves, and you're going to ask a lot of questions today, but not with me. I'm challenging everyone to ask questions of Holy Spirit today. Ask questions to Holy Spirit and let Holy Spirit speak back to you, give you revelation as we go through the scripture and lesson today. The first question you want to ask Holy Spirit this morning is, who is dictating my prayer life? Who is dictating my prayer life? Ask Holy Spirit, who is dictating my prayer life? Is it the enemy or the Lord? What do I mean by that? When you go to pray, is it very reactionary or is it proactive? Is your prayer life very on the defensive or is it offensive? Are you trying to take ground? So many times, if we're not careful, our circumstances, especially in a hard year or hard season, can begin to compound. And before we know it, the only thing that's dictating our prayer life is our physical circumstances, what we're going through. And we're absolutely supposed to pray about that. The Lord wants you to pray about the things you're going through, the things that are on your heart, but it becomes a trap. You get backed into a corner where the only things we're praying about are the things happening to us. It makes our prayer life small. It makes it very defensive and very reactionary. The Lord wants you to take ground spiritually, and that will never happen if you're constantly on your heels in prayer. So ask Holy Spirit, is my prayer life proactive? Am I praying about things I want to see you do, God? Or am I praying in a very reactionary manner? God, I'm only praying about the things that are happening to me. That's the first thing for us to look into our prayer life. The second thing that I want us to look in this is the king of Israel knew where to avoid. Why? Because the Lord was giving revelation to Elijah. He knew all the places to avoid. The king of Aram could go anywhere he wanted, but Elijah was always a step ahead. Why? Because the Lord was giving revelation. Here's something we can learn about our prayer life is you can have good intel when it comes from the Lord. You can have good intel when it comes to prayer. The kingdom of heaven does not botch scouting reports. The kingdom of heaven does not botch scouting reports. So many times, how many of us have ever felt like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening in my life. I know it looks like a dumpster fire right now. I do know that. I don't like the warmth that it's giving me. I don't know what's happening. The kingdom of heaven always has good intel. The kingdom of heaven always has good scouting reports. But how many times do we slow down and trust that the Lord will speak at some point to reveal the purpose and plan? He may not give you all the details. He may not give you the full plan. And sometimes we really struggle because we don't get the full why. We don't get the full why. If you're like me, that I struggle with that at times. I've gone through things and I've never quite fully gotten the why this has happened. But will I trust the Lord in the process? Look at the next verse, verse 11. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Verse 12, none of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom? When it comes to our prayer life, do we realize the one that we pray to, nothing gets by him? Nothing gets by him. The king of Aram was becoming paranoid. He thought there was a spy in his midst. He thought there was a traitor in his midst. He didn't understand that nothing gets by the Lord. He could go into his bedroom, close the door, try to hide, try to speak as secretly as possible. But the king of heaven was there to thwart every move he was making. The one we pray to, nothing gets by him. We're not hoping he can show up. We're not hoping he can do something. The scripture tells us in the Psalms that no one, nothing can stand against the outstretched arm of the Lord. That's the one we pray to. The king of Aram becomes enraged by this. But isn't it us sometimes who become enraged? Isn't us, aren't we the ones who get frustrated sometimes in our prayer life? Because so many times we don't have the answer. We don't have the intel. We don't have the knowledge. And if we're not careful, it makes us think neither does the Lord. That can seep into our prayer life and start to erode our faith. I'm here to remind you that even when we don't have the knowledge, when we don't have the intel, when we don't have the understanding, when we don't have the answer to the why, the Lord does. The Lord knew every word the king of Aram was speaking in his bedroom. So I want to ask, does our prayer life affect our positioning? Does our prayer life affect our positioning? What do I mean by that? You know, we talked about being proactive and reactive. We talked about being on the offensive or our defensive when it comes to our prayer life. So does our prayer life affect our energy? I think it absolutely does. When we talked about when you're constantly just praying and you're just reacting to what is happening to you, it's draining. Does anyone else relate to that? When I'm constantly just praying about the things that are happening to me, when I feel like I'm just trying to survive, when I'm trying to just keep my head above water, my prayer life almost seems draining to me. But when I am praying about things I want to see God do, I'm believing in faith that he's still on the move, that he's not given up, that he's still working, it starts to build spiritual momentum. Your prayer life can actually dictate your spiritual energy. Because you're either believing God can do something, or if you're in the defensive, you're reacting, you're hoping God can do something. There's a difference between faith and hope sometimes. Hope is just kind of like chucking it up, hoping something happens. You know, I don't want to bring it up, but there was a lot of hope yesterday for our Atlanta Braves. There was a lot of hope and optimism yesterday for the Georgia Bulldogs, and here we are in 2020. You know, some of you have shown up in church hoping the Lord moves in your life because yesterday your hearts were broken. I understand, and Gator Nation will open you with welcome arms. That wasn't supposed to be the joke of the sermon. Yes, it was. And so, does your prayer life affect your positioning? Does your prayer life affect your focus? Does your prayer life affect your focus? If you're constantly on the defensive, if you're constantly on just being someone who just reacts in your prayer life, your focus is always going to be on the physical, the things of your circumstances, the things that are around you. But if your prayer life is looking ahead of what God can do, what he wants to do in your life, the way he wants to move, that you're trusting that there's a plan, there's a purpose, and that if your obedience carries through, you will continue to see God move. It will affect your focus. So you ask Holy Spirit right now, Holy Spirit, what does my prayer life reveal about my focus? Holy Spirit, what does my prayer life reveal about the energy that I have? Am I losing energy? Am I losing spiritual momentum because I'm just waiting for things to happen to me? Or am I believing God still wants to move? God still wants to do things in my life. God still wants to work in and through me for his glory. Ask Holy Spirit. Verse 13, go out and find where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent out horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Notice he wasn't playing against. He's so tired of Elijah. He's so tired of this guy. He's like, where is that one dude? I'm sending chariots. I'm sending horses. I'm sending a strong force enough to surround the whole city of Dothan. I'm done with Elijah. Look at the next verse, 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Can anyone relate to this guy? You feel like you're doing everything right? You're serving God. You're trying to do things His way. You're trying to live your way in a good Christian life. You're trying to be obedient to God. You're trying to follow His commands in your life. And you wake up one day and you look around and it feels like your whole life is surrounded by the enemy. What shall we do? We're surrounded. That could happen to many of us. Maybe right now the best you could do, every muster of faith you could build in your life, was to turn on a live stream because you got, maybe God will speak into my life today. Because you feel like you're surrounded. You feel like the enemy's compounding on you. You feel like life is falling apart. You can't control it. It's coming unglued. You feel like life has surrounded you. It's because we see the physical so often. We see the way the enemy is attacking us. But look at the next verse. This next verse, I think we should underline, we should highlight, because it's actually one of the most critical verses as we move forward today. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elisha looks back at the man as they look out, as their whole city is surrounded with chariots, with horses, with the strong force, and he looks back at the man who's with him and says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." 17, verse 17, and Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the man who was with Elijah got up in the morning after doing everything right but wasn't able to see spiritually, he got up and saw that we're surrounded. They've got chariots, horses, strong forces. We can't compete with them. Elijah gets up, but he's got a different perspective. He can see things spiritually, and he goes, "They didn't send enough troops. They didn't send enough troops." What's the difference between Elijah and the man who's with him? It's simply an ability to see the spiritual amongst the physical. It's simply an ability to see the spiritual amongst the physical. I wonder how many of us have missed opportunities to see horses and chariots of fire around us because we didn't slow down to see what God could see. We couldn't see what God had sent us. We only saw things in the physical. Is that not what's tripped up people throughout this series? Is that not a theme we've seen throughout this series? What did the Reubenites and Gadites do when they saw things through the physical? They settled for less spiritually. What did the woman at the well do when she was offered living water, Holy Spirit? She says, "Give me this water so I don't have to come back and draw water at the well anymore." What did the disciples say when they were offered the bread of life to never go spiritually hungry again? Offer, "Give us this bread. Give us this bread." What is the man who's with Elijah look out and see amongst all the troops surrounding them? "There's no one with us. What are we going to do?" Holy Spirit, do we have the ability to see things in the spiritual amongst the physical? You see, when his eyes were open, it didn't change that they were surrounded. It didn't change any less horses. It didn't change any less chariots. It didn't change that there was a strong force there. All it changed was their ability to see that there was more of us than there is with them. Christians, many times we feel surrounded. We feel overwhelmed. And one of the things we need now more than ever is an ability to see things spiritually. To see that this scripture hasn't changed, that the Lord doesn't lack troops or resources, that the scripture that says the Lord, nothing can stand against his outstretched arm, hasn't changed. The only thing that maybe has changed is Christians' ability to see things spiritually rather than just physically. Our prayer life has absolutely changed. It's absolutely changed. When we can open our eyes and begin to see the spiritual around us in the physical, our prayer life changes when we know that there are more with us than there are with them. Our prayer life changes when we know who fights our battles. Our prayer life changes when we have the faith in the Lord who does not lose battles. But if we're constantly on the defensive, if we're constantly reacting in our prayer life, it's very difficult to see the spiritual when we're overcome by the physical. Watch what this happens in verse 18. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you were looking for." And he led them to Samaria. I think somebody who's engaging with the message today, I really do. I think someone that's engaging with the message, whether online or in the building, needs to be reminded that the Lord is fully capable of redirecting any attack the Lord brings against us. He's fully capable. Yes, we can trust in that. Because when the servant got up after doing everything right, all he could see was the physical, but Elijah could see the spiritual. He saw, no. The king of Aram didn't send enough troops. It changed the way he prayed. He was able to walk out and pray that the Lord would blind a strong force of horses and chariots. Do you know how incredible that must have been to see? You woke up and you thought your life was over because you were surrounded. The next thing you know, you see Elijah leading a strong force of horses and chariots who were all blind, beckoning them, come on. I know who you're looking for. Follow me. And leads them all away from Dothan. What a sight that must have been to see. Isaiah 54 tells us, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." You see, the enemy cannot send any attack that the Lord cannot turn around for his glory. You see, here's the ironic thing out of all of this to me is the king of Aram didn't have the right intel. The king of Aram didn't have the right intel. You see, there was more with Elijah than there was what he sent. But see, all his intel was the physical. The intel he got from the physical said, Elijah is in Dothan. In the scripture, I don't see where the report lists anything about chariots of horses or chariots of fire, horses of fire. I don't see that in the scouting report. All I see in the scripture was, Elijah is in Dothan. We've got to remember that the Lord is the one who gives the best intel. You got to remember that every time the enemy comes against you, at best, he's got intel like the king of Aram does. Every time the Lord comes against you, at best, he's got the intel of the king of Aram. This Christian is at such and such place. This Christian is over there. He doesn't have the intel that the Lord is fully capable of surrounding you with horses of fire, chariots of fire. We've got to pray that the Lord who can surround us can absolutely send us any force that can not only turn back the enemy, but lead them away. But do we pray that way? Do we pray that way? Do we pray with the ability to see the spiritual and the physical? I want us to look at Romans chapter 8. Because if you're like me, you kind of hear this and you go, well, I think I'd like to be able to pray like Elisha. I think after considering my options, I think I would like that. I'd like to sign up for that. I don't know if we have a course. I don't know what we got. I would like to pray like Elisha. And quite frankly, if we're signing up, I would like chariots and horses of fire as well. I don't know where we purchased those, but those sound quite delightful to be able to call on at any time in any need. Look at Romans 8:26. How do we see things spiritually? How do we see things spiritually? How do we go from somebody that looks around and goes, oh my gosh, what shall we do? We're surrounded to having the faith. There's more of us than there is with them. Look at Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The first thing we've got to understand is that the well of prayer and that the well of living water are actually deeply connected. The well of living water that we talked about a couple weeks ago and the well of prayer are deeply connected. You cannot draw from the well of living water without also needing to draw from the well of prayer. You can't go draw from the well of prayer if you're not drawing from the same source of living water. The scripture tells us that the Spirit is the one who can help us intercede. He can speak things that we don't even know to pray for. Holy Spirit, living water in your life is what you need to be able to draw from to have a deep, effective well in prayer. We've been asking questions of Holy Spirit today. One of the questions we need to ask is, Holy Spirit, do I push you away? Holy Spirit, do I push you away? Do you make me uncomfortable at times? If we are willing to ask that question, Holy Spirit's willing to speak. Holy Spirit's the one who can help us draw living waters. Holy Spirit's the one who can help us have a deep well in prayer. Holy Spirit, do I push you away? When it comes to our prayer life, do we have the faith that God has the ability to change anything? It's a simple question, but when are we willing to hear an honest answer from Holy Spirit back? When I go to pray, do I believe that God can change it? Do I really believe that God can change things? Because if we don't, we lack faith. We lack faith. What does Hebrews 11:6 tell us? It's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to draw from the well of prayer, if you want to draw from the well of living water, if you want to draw from the well of fasting, if you want to draw from the well of worship, if you want to draw from the well of prayer, the bucket, the rope that you need to lower down into any one of those wells is faith. Faith. Faith is that bucket, that rope that you draw and lower down into any one of those wells and draw up from. Remember last week, what does Jesus say the work of God is? To believe in the one he sent. Faith. It's such a interesting, simple, but elusive thing if we're honest many times in our life. Well gosh, I've got to have faith. How do you get faith? Faith is this interesting thing that it's hard to grow in your life if you're not stepping out in it. The best way I can describe faith to people in the most simplest terms I can try to come up with is it's almost like an avalanche. It's almost like a snowball rolling downhill. If you're never stepping out in faith, it's incredibly difficult to have any faith. But the way you get faith is stepping into situations that you're very unsure of. You're very unsure of. It can be intimidating. And ultimately, you've got to trust. Faith can be elusive, especially when we're not stepping out. We can dig these wells of prayer. We can dig these wells of fasting and the bread of life and living water and worship. We can dig these wells, but we'll never access what they offer us without faith. So, Holy Spirit, do I have the faith to draw from the wells? Holy Spirit, do I have the faith to draw from the wells? The band wants to come back up. I'm going to close with Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, I want us to look a little bit deeper. What does it look like to see spiritually when we pray? What does it look like to see spiritually when we pray? I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. This is what it says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. If you want to underline or highlight a verse, highlight Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Remember, well, weeks ago in the Leave No Doubt series, we talked about Matthew 27. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was split in the temple. The veil that no one could ever go past. That was the physical barrier between the presence of God. No one could go past that. But the high priest, once a year, Jesus dies on the cross and says, everyone who follows me now has access. Exodus 20, remember last week where all the people watched Moses approach the mountain where God was at and they stayed at a distance. That doesn't have to be our life anymore. We can now go, according to Hebrews 4:16, approach the throne of grace with confidence. Or maybe your text says boldly, because we have access now. And you see, this is radical. This is radical. See, we don't really have kings anymore. We don't really deal with this. But in the culture and context of Hebrews 4, when this was written, this was radical. And here's why. If you went before a king, uninvited, unannounced, and just waltzed right up into their throne room, that was punishable by death. It was punishable by death. And so the author of Hebrews 4 tells us, not only can you go before the throne, not only is it not punishable by death, you can go boldly, you can go with confidence. Why? Because of Jesus. When you see things spiritually, when it comes to your prayer life, are you someone that acts like you're outside the city walls of the kingdom of heaven? You're outside the city walls of the kingdom of heaven, and when you go to pray, you're just throwing prayers up like an SOS, like a flare gun, hoping God sees something, hoping he can move. Or maybe you're someone, I'm a Christian, I live inside the city walls. I live in the kingdom of heaven. I just drop my prayer request in the mail, throw up the flag. God will get to him when he gets to him in 2 to 3 days, maybe overnight if I pay a little extra in the kingdom. I spend a little currency of faith, and you just drop it in the mail. But see, that's not what Scripture says. Hebrews 4 says, no. When you go to pray, you need to see spiritually. Everyone who's given their life to Jesus Christ, Jesus walks out of the city gates where every last one of us belongs, outside the city walls. And those who follow Jesus, who've laid down their life and said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And he leads us through the city gates of the kingdom of heaven. And we walk through the neighborhoods. We walk up to the palace of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, no, keep following me. Follow me. And you walk up the massive, beautiful, immaculate steps of the palace of the kingdom of heaven. And he leads you through the palace to the throne room where the King of heaven, the ultimate King of kings, is sitting, and you're starting to shake, you're starting to sweat, and are you sure we're supposed to be here? And Jesus throws open the doors to the throne room, and he says, follow me, follow me. He leads you up to the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one where nothing can stand against his outstretched arm, the one that can send chariots and horses of fire. And he says, come. And he leads you up right before the king. He leads you right before the king, and he says, now make your request. Now you can pray. That's how we're supposed to see ourselves every time we pray, is not someone outside the city walls, not someone mailing in a prayer, but one who's been led directly into the throne room before the king, who's sitting on a throne of grace. And Jesus says, now you can make your request. And as you muster the courage, the confidence to finally be about to speak, Jesus goes, one more thing. When you make this request, when you offer this prayer, I give you my standing before the king. Jesus looks at it and goes, you have my standing before the king. Us as the people who deserve to be outside the city walls. Romans 8:17 tells us we're co-heirs with Christ. So not only has Jesus led us in, led us up to the palace, thrown open the throne room doors for us, and led us to the feet of the king and says, now you can make my request. Before we do, he says, you make your request now as a son or daughter of the king. What? But if we want to see things spiritually, that's the access available to every last follower of Jesus Christ every time we pray. It's not a one-time shot. It's not a Hail Mary. It's every single time we pray, whether it's in our car or before bed or before church or before your meal, you have the opportunity to follow Jesus into the throne room before the feet of the king and make your request as a son or daughter. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. It's nothing we did. It's nothing we earned. What we deserve is to be outside the city walls. But Jesus has let us in. And it's this tension that exists when the scripture says we can boldly or with confidence approach the king. You see, the first thing to do to get your butt thrown out of the throne room is pride. You want yourself thrown out of the throne room? Start to believe you're there because of something that I did or you did. Every request we make before the king, we've got to remember hinges on Jesus as the one who gave us that access. Every time we go to be confident before the king and say, Father, I need you to move, we must remember the one who led us through the city gates, the one who beckoned us through the neighborhoods, the one who led us up the palace steps, threw open the doors to the throne room and said, no, come. Make your request to the king, and I give you my standing as a son or daughter. We must come confidently, but also humble. And it's a tension that will always and should always exist in our prayer life, because our access is only granted through Jesus. And maybe you're engaging with the message today. Maybe you're watching today or you're in the building and you realize you don't have that access, but you want it. You want to have access to the King of Heaven, the one who sits on a throne of grace and offers you grace and mercy in your time of need. You say, I want that. I want that in my life. Jesus, please lead me. That's exactly right. Today is a day where you can offer your life to Jesus. You don't have to be outside the city walls anymore. Jesus today is at the city gate saying, come follow me. Come follow me. I'll lead you to the throne room. In order to follow Jesus, we've got to confess we need him. We've got to confess that we've fallen short, that we're sinners, and we need his grace and mercy. And we've got to ask him not only to lead us, but to be the Lord of our life. And that is offered to you today. You just say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins, my shortcomings. God, I want you to be the Lord of my life, Jesus. Jesus, I give you my life. Be the one who leads me, not only to the throne room, but in all that I do, be the one who leads me. And if that's been you today, please send us a message or meet with us in the green room after the service or come down front and pray. Because the Lord is still beckoning at the gate. Come, follow me. If you want to see things spiritually when you pray, pray in the throne room every time. Before the King of Kings, as a son or daughter who can come before the Lord boldly and with confidence because of Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus and how deep it is will directly correlate to how deep your well is in prayer. Your relationship with Jesus and how deep it is will directly correlate to how deep your well is in prayer. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you just move. Speak to us. Point out anything that's not quite right. Position us, Holy Spirit, so that our focus, our energy, our spiritual momentum, we'll be on track for everything that you want to do in and through our life, Lord. We want to humble ourselves before your feet in the throne room right now and ask that you move, that you speak to us, that you lead us, that you guide us. We want to exchange our ways, God, for your ways. So Holy Spirit, move. Let us be people that each and every day have the confidence and faith that there's more with us than there is with them. Holy Spirit, grant us the eyes to see spiritually each and every day. Let us be people who can be proactive in our prayers, people who go out and take ground for the kingdom spiritually by how we see. Let us not be overcome by the physical, but know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the Kingdom, the spiritual is over all physical, and that you are at work. We love you, Jesus, and this is your time. In your name we pray. Amen.